Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Ultimately, I'm going to keep saying it. Get 1% better every day. Just get a little bit better every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of 1% Better. I'm Stephen Holder. I'm here with Zach Kiefer. But enough about us. It's not about us today. We have a guest. So we're sharing our platform, so graciously sharing our platform here with a guy you may have heard of before. Zach, this guy, he's all right. He's all right in my book. Tell the people who we have today, Zach.
Yeah, one of the good guys, one of the all-time favorites from my end in terms of talking to guys in the locker room, Colts running back Nyheim Hines. And this sounds crazy to say this, Colts fifth-year running back Nyheim Hines.
Wow.
Part of that stellar 2018 draft class. He's like the old man in the room now. Marlon Mack has gone. JT's coming up, but you still got him by a couple of years. When I say fifth-year running back, does that sound crazy to you?
Yeah, it does sound crazy. Actually, we had a walkthrough yesterday, and my coach didn't have any of the coaching points, and I did everything right. And he was like, I love when you guys just go up there and just be right with all the details. And my exact response was, man, I haven't been here 5 years for nothing. So, yeah, it's been I can't believe it's been this long, and I'm young but old, so it's been interesting.
Did you ever think you'd, like, have a lengthy NFL career? Like, I know – as a kid, everybody dreams about that kind of stuff. But then as you get older, you start to, at some point, realize how hard that is, right, to stay around. I mean, right. Do you marvel at that at all?
I think I'm supposed to be here. And every day I wake up and thank the Lord, like, for allowing me to do what I love every day. But me being here 5 years, I think obviously the hardest thing is – it's easy to get here, but the hardest thing is to stay. And I think just for the – My unique skill set and things like that, I think as long as I can just keep doing what I'm doing and getting better, hopefully I'll be able to stick around.
I definitely don't think of you as an older player, even though you've been here 5 years. And we talk about the average career being 2 to 3 years. It feels like you're just tipping the iceberg on what you could do. And we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, we talked a lot about this. You're a fifth-year player right now. If you could talk to yourself as a rookie coming in that 2018 class, what would the fifth-year Nyheim Hines tell the rookie Nyheim Hines about what is coming up?
I'll probably tell him to slow down and just enjoy the ride. And honestly, that every day isn't as bad as you think it is, as long as you don't make it that bad. You have to have a short memory here. And I think that's really the biggest thing. You have a bad day here, don't let it go to the next day, because really the last day – doesn't matter, because you put it behind you, you watch the film, and once you watch that film, you have to have a quick memory and flush it away. So I think that's what I would tell them. Nothing lasts forever, and every day is a new opportunity.
Didn't you have, like, drop issues that first year, right? You remember that? We were talking about that? Well, I don't know. We characterized it that way, right?
Yeah, I remember. Sure. I remember. See, even back then, I remember even thinking about it, and, like, even everybody talking about it, and what did I do? I muffed a punt. It was kind of bad luck, like, honestly. I muffed a punt. I got the ball back. Then I actually went to get away from the ball, and the ball bounced and hit me. And then in the next game, I fumbled. So it was just bad. But unfortunately, that's what happens when you're a returner. It just happened to me kind of fast.
Right.
And I think you learned.
Short memory, like, came into play there is what I'm saying. That's right. Good.
Honestly, I wish it would have came in better, because I mean, obviously it was hard. Obviously when I was young, and I was younger and trying so hard. And even just, like, in a locker room and just, like, hearing people talk about her, like, waking up every day and having a seeing Twitter or Instagram, it was real annoying. But you learn.
You said you jumped off social media. You just, like, yeah, like, I'm going to get away from that. I think I'm sure it wasn't a fun period in your career, but I'm sure it was a good lesson early on, because that can be toxic for a lot of players if that stuff seeps into your mind.
That is probably the exact reason I am where I am, because honestly, most of the people that said stuff about me, I remember it and I highlighted it and screenshotted it. So it's probably where we are today. When people talk junk about me, I don't hold grudges, but I do remember. So, like, all the people that are talking bad about me and all the people who are like, oh, when I can't return the punt. Oh, best believe I still remember it. And that's probably where we are today.
Nice. So let's talk about the draft briefly, not this draft, but your draft. You get the call. Obviously, it's a huge day in your life. What's like the defining memory for you of draft day? Since, you know, it's that season, figured we talk about.
My draft experience is interesting. I had a so for my agent, from a lot of people, we had good intel that I would probably be like, you know, third round, top 100 pick. So I had a draft party, you know, that night, played Fortnite and didn't get drafted. So I remember the next day, you know, I didn't even do anything. I actually was in my pajamas and I was folding up clothes. And actually, I didn't have the TV on. And my sister told me Indianapolis number was calling. It happened to be the Colts. I talked to Chris Ballard, who was the general manager. And then I talked to Frank Reich. I didn't know who Frank Reich was at the time because, you know, he had just left Philly, his offensive coordinator. And I was excited for the opportunity. I remember coming here and thinking I was going to go to Philly. And then when I started looking at Frank, and obviously I didn't really know all the things because, you know, when you're getting drafted and stuff, there's 32 guys. I didn't talk to the Colts at all before. So then I started looking at Frank's history and I said, dang, like, I can make this work. Like, I thought I was going to Philly, and I still really did end up here because we got their coordinator. And I think that was just, you know, kind of my brief thoughts and just how I came in just with the right mindset and hopeful.
With folding clothes, huh? Folding clothes.
Mm-hmm. You were folding clothes when you got drafted. I was a little bit mad. I'm not going to lie. Because even that was a year, like, you know, like a couple teams I thought were going to draft me. Some stuff happened. They traded up and, like, had to get other positions. So, yeah, I was a little bit mad about it, but it's all right. That's kind of why I picked four times. That's why I picked 42, my first number.
Nice.
There was eight running backs ahead of me. And honestly, I didn't get any great number choices here. So till 21 got open.
Didn't you get a text or a call from Tom Rathman that day as well? And I'm sure you didn't. Oh, I'm sure it wasn't the first thing on your mind, but he was like, hey, if you don't know who I am, Google me. I'm going to be your new coach.
Yes. He told me about it. He told me about it. And he goes, yeah, I'm Tom Rathman. I play 49ers. So as he's talking to me, I'm looking him up. As soon as he's a Tom Rathman, I play for the 49ers. I'm on speakerphone looking him up. And then he's like, Google me. So I Google him. Then his YouTube highlights come up. And I start looking at what he was doing to people. And I was like, geez, I'm in trouble. I hope he doesn't want me to do that. But he was a great coach. Coach Rathman was physical. He was literally how he was, I guess, on the phone. When I met him on day one on the phone, he literally was the exact same than he was the day he retired. So.
What's your best Rathman story? You've got to have a good one.
Man, I have so many Rathman stories. I don't know my best Rathman story. I don't know. I think my best Rathman story would just be kind of impersonating him because he was different, like how he would just tell us certain things. Or I think my best story was him honestly telling me, like, even all the small guy telling me how to pass block. I have so many pass blocking stories, him headbutting me in the head with my helmet on and him showing me how to do it. Like, so probably my best.
He's not wearing a helmet and you are. Yes, and he's still. Oh my gosh.
So I was short. The way he used to teach it, you put your forehead on the guy's chin or whatever. So he used to do that to me, like, because obviously I'm a shorter guy and I played receiver for 2 years in college. So I didn't get to pass block as much as other running backs coming out. So, like, and you know, Ralph was a hands on coach. So he used to really like headbutt me, like, with his head, like, crazy. But that's like, he would demonstrate and he would always, like, hit you and be okay. So I think that's probably. And I think his demonstrations probably have helped me in life because there's no way to learn, especially in football, other than hands-on and seeing it.
Good story. He did the same thing with Frank Reich in his interview with Frank for the job and headbutted Frank on accident in the interview. So
and still got hired.
There you go. Frank Reich had a cut on his face.
It works out. I'm telling you, Rath was a great – Rath had his way of doing things. But if you could just not worry about that and get the coaching points done, and don't take personal like you're not supposed to do in the NFL, Raph's a great coach.
Yeah. You know, we kind of hit on something similar to this earlier, but, you know, when we were talking about, you know, the advice the 50-year player would give, you know, yourself as a rookie player, I'm wondering, thinking back to, you know, there's this whole crew of rookies, you know, hundreds of guys coming in the league this year. What do you think as a rookie in that stage of your life and your career, what was the biggest challenge for you? Particularly off the field, because like your whole life has changed, right? And now you're on your own and you have all this responsibility, expectations from the team, everything. Now people know who you are, et cetera. So just what do you recall like as being like the biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is just your life, like people. First off, it doesn't matter if you're a first rounder or undrafted. As soon as you go to the NFL, everybody thinks you're just a millionaire and rich.
Yeah.
Well, y'all know how contracts work. First off, like, most of us aren't rich. We have money and we have to keep working until we can get generational money. And I think really it's just the lifestyle changes. Obviously, you're not going to be in college anymore. So when you leave the building here, you don't have class. You can just do whatever you want to do. I think that's the biggest change. Just try to figure out how you can stay focused. Maybe, you know, have fun a little bit, but not get too carried away. We see a lot of guys get carried away. I think really it's just focusing on, like, you know, your relationships with people, your girlfriends, and people asking you for money. Like, those are probably the three things. And just maintaining a level head. And even though you're having success and, you know, you just got here, to remain level-headed, because you're about to go into the NFL where there's guys who make a lot more money than you. There's guys like, when I got here, there's guys like T.Y. Hilton. It doesn't matter how good I'm feeling about myself. You're not as decorated as people like that. So you have to take a slice of humble pie, even though everybody in your life outside of the building is kind of hyping you up, telling you how good you are.
I just want to just kind of drill down on that just a little bit, because having done this a long time, I've grown to appreciate just like the difference between, you know, the top paid guys in the locker room and a guy like yourself as a fourth round pick coming in. You're just like, man, I hope my signing bonus can, like, you know, pay my rent.
Shoot,
you know?
Yeah. So even though I got a contract, I'm still not a top paid guy. It is, I mean, right. I got my money, but you know how it is. There's right. quarterbacks and stuff in here. So it makes you like think about it differently, especially coming in the fourth round. Shoot, that's pretty good money. It could be, yeah. I could have got drafted later. So it's I guess I'm kind of in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like the guys who got a lot and the guys who maybe didn't get as much. So I'm kind of in the middle of it. So I guess I kind of see it from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I think if you start to think you've made it, that's probably a dangerous thought process. I'm curious how the contract negotiation was like from your end last summer. You know, they signed Darius to a big extension. They signed Brady Smith. Yours got done, I think, 2 days before the opener.
The day I signed the contract on September 11th.
Yeah.
And
so
we played on the 12th.
Yeah. Are you a guy that was like, hey, to my agent, like, you just handle it. I don't want to be involved. I want to be involved. And then when you signed, was it relief? Was it motivation? Was it like, I need to go buy this and treat myself? Or was it like, I remember Peyton Manning's famous words, you know, what are you going to do with all this money? He said, I'm going to go earn it. How did you respond to that whole process?
I was going to go earn it. Throughout the process, my agent kind of, I didn't really talk to Chris or Frank or much about it. My agent did it for me. My agent kind of updated me every couple of days, or told me what he needed to tell me. And then we got everything done. Honestly, that was the worst thing for me. Getting signing it the day before. I mean, it's not bad. It was a blessing, but y'all know how I am. As soon as I sign it, I'm like, dang, we got a game tomorrow. Now everybody's talking about this contract. I can't go out here and mess up. And I think that's how I was kind of like all last year. Just really that obviously I worked these 3 years to get this contract, but the 3-year contract is in advance of what I'm supposed to do these next 3 years. And that's how I look at it. And I look forward to that challenge of earning every penny that I get.
Now on the field, you know, you have, I think you and Frank Reich both have talked about how, like, you prefer to be viewed, and he definitely views you as well as your coach, you're a standard running back. You are not a gadget player. You're not a, you know, this or that or whatever people want to call you. Does that ever make you feel marginalized when you hear that? I know I don't think that's something that you love, and you have proven, right? You've run between the tackles. You've done the whole job description repeatedly year in and year out, and you kind of still get that label. Does it bug you at all?
Honestly, in 5 years, I don't care what nobody has to say about me, because at first, if I play running back, I'm too small. Then if I play receiver, my arms are too long or whatever. And then I just start realizing there's a lot of people who have a lot to say about me who aren't doing my job. So really, even what people label me, I really don't care, as long as the people in the building. And honestly, most of my life, I've kind of not struggled, but I've been kind of hearing it, kind of took it to heart. But at this point, I've been hearing I'm too short my whole life. Been hearing me being 195 pounds on every down back. And all this stuff. So honestly, truthfully, I really don't care. People kind of say what they want to, but at this point in my life, I've been hearing it forever, and I kind of don't care.
I imagine you were probably a small guy coming up in high school, right? I mean, you were probably
in high school. Guy, right? I'm trying to think. I played my varsity year. I started as a freshman. I was 5'9", 160. Probably graduated high school at like 5'9", 185. I probably weighed 5 to 10 pounds more than I did in high school. But honestly, even all this sizes and stuff, that sounds good. But people, also, first off, still have to catch me. And then when you do, it's still not hard to tackle me. So even though I'm not a power back, it's not like people are just wrapping me up anyways, because they have a whole other problem. So honestly, I'm starting to realize that people, no matter what, people try to put you in a box. And if you don't know who you are in your life, people put a label on you. So I don't care what labels put on me. I don't play like it, and I know what I can do.
I feel like some of your best runs have been like A-gap runs, B-gap runs, like the Buffalo playoff game a couple of years ago. Like, that team you guys were down, I want to say 10 points in the second half, and you had two big runs to pull them back in it, and everyone forgets because it wasn't in the end of the game. But favorite win in the last couple of years, and what was the toughest loss in the last couple of years?
Favorite win.
You could say the birthday game in Tennessee. You could say it. I won't hold it against you.
No, I'll say that one, but I think my best, like, I'd say that one, but the best one was Houston. The last time I went to the playoffs and won my rookie year. And looking back on it now, it's like, dang, Naheem. After my rookie year with Andrew, and you know, that's when Houston beat us and they won the division. We went down there and won. If you said, dang, Naheem, you wouldn't have won a playoff game since then. Like, dang. Like, and then I had to wait 2 years. We waited 2 years ago to Buffalo and we lost in the wild card. So I think just doing all that, I remember how the plane ride was, like even a plane ride. The plane ride hasn't, well, it's been great, but like just remembering all of that and then realizing like it's a moment you won't get back until. Because even like Costanzo and Andrew even said that, like they were like, look, you go to the playoffs and win a game, you never know if you're going to do it again. A lot of the older guys kind of told me that. And here I am 4 years now, and we still haven't won a playoff game since then. So that's really.
You thought you're going to be back every year. You thought it's just, yeah, man, it's like, just how it goes. Yeah,
you look at our team the past 4 years since we've been here, man. Every year it was a playoff team, and every year it hasn't been like that. So that's one thing that we're going to make sure we finish. And then probably the worst loss.
It's probably the last one.
Jacksonville? Yeah, Jacksonville.
Unless you say different.
Jacksonville's bad, bro, but I mean we have bad history there. So you can say it's bad, but it's history. Like until we go down there and win, I can't even say it's bad. I'd probably say Baltimore. Baltimore was bad too, because it was, or Tennessee, but both those just came from not finishing. Like, and that's, football is a game of matchups, and Jacksonville's obviously had our number, and we have to figure out how to get that out and find ways, because obviously we haven't played good in Jacksonville since what, 2014. So outside of that, I would say probably Baltimore, because I was just talking to somebody about this. We're up 22-3 with 12 minutes left. We don't find a way to win that game. And that was – no, actually, the worst one might have been the Saints. The Saints was bad. Actually, I'm changing to that one. I still have – I was at Caesar's – what is it, the Mercedes? I don't know what it's called now. But I was in New Orleans this year. I'm still having flashbacks about that game. Like, that
just
was
like bad. Was never close.
Monday Night Football is 34-0, and we score at the end of the game. That was embarrassing. Yeah, both those are bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those pride games where your pride really gets checked, doesn't it?
The New Orleans game was tough. Yeah. That was that game was so bad. Like, we even, Rad, like, our meeting even started different. Like, even Rad, like, he just told us straight up, like, yeah, we wanted dogs in here. Y'all playing, like, a bunch of spoiled girls. Like, he just said, like, something like that, like, a bunch of spoiled girls or whatever he said. I actually put that part out. But he said some very, very explicit words to us.
That doesn't sound like Rathman at all.
To start that meeting, before we even turn on the film, he said some very, very explicit words to us. And that's probably about the next week we played so well at Carolina. Because we really, after that game, we really got checked. And it was real.
Mm. So, here's something I'm wondering about. This kind of random, but like going back to what I said earlier about like when you come into the league, you kind of have to manage yourself and be responsible. One of the things you have to do is you have to manage like your lifestyle and your body and what you eat and all those kinds of things. I remember T.Y. Hilton telling us probably halfway through his career, he was still eating like Lucky Charms and like shit like that. You know, it's like, dude,
this is good for you though.
Okay. I don't believe you, but whatever. No,
I eat a lot of cereal. One of the number one things I eat is cereal or rice or spaghetti, because all those, even sugars, is carbs.
Uh-huh. Okay, what cereals, though?
Frosted Flakes, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms.
Okay.
Did you clear this with the Colts dietitian?
Yeah. I talked to Rusty, he's a guru. We call him, yes. I call him Beanie. So he's the one that told me to eat Frosted Flakes. He even gave me the story of Devin Hester. So he was working with Devin Hester. He told me he used to feed Devin Hester sugar and make him eat Frosted Flakes and stuff. So since he told me that's what he does with Devin Hester, I mean, I've kind of been on it because I'd like to be Devin Hester. And then I kind of talked to my nutritionist, and, you know, she starts talking about reading the labels and stuff. And it all seems to check out so far.
Okay, see, now I'm glad I asked. Okay,
better.
But I'm burning a lot of calories, right? That's part of it, I guess. Right.
And cereal's easier to eat than, let's say, like a steak or something. Like sometimes a pregame meal, I'm not even hungry. So if I can eat some cereal, get the milk, because the milk is a protein, the cereal is the carbs and your sugars and stuff. And then you drink another protein shake, a Gatorade protein shake and stuff. And that's a liquid diet. So you don't even have to, all athletes, you know, like sometimes on Sunday, you can't eat the way you want to eat.
Yeah.
I don't think Darius eats before the game at all.
I don't hardly eat at all. Like sometimes, like it's not even like even now. It's like now is in the fifth year. It's nerves, but it's like I don't know why I can't eat. So at sometimes, like either you have to go liquid diet. Like you have to drink some naked drinks, eat some cereal, protein shakes. I've done that a lot.
Interesting. What about like recovery? That's like, I mean, you take such a beating, especially at your position.
And you take this stuff seriously. You told me about this before.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like Darius is sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, you know, with his ankle last year. Oh, okay. So
I go to Darius's house and use his.
Really?
yeah. So I think really with that, with recovery, it's kind of just how knowing your body. Like for me, I get a lot of needles. I get two or three massages a week. Rusty's currently stretching me. And I normally have a rule that like every day when I run, before I leave, somebody has to rub my legs. Like, that's just how I am. I like to keep the money makers right. So that's kind of what I do. And then even when I go home, I take an Epsom salt bath every day and watch film or whatever I do. But that's a good time to go home and just relax for 20 minutes and just decompress.
Naeem, did you have an idea last year? I remember watching training camp and thinking to myself, JT and Michael Pittman are the best players on this offense right now. Did you have a sense that JT was going to bust out like he did? Like, you know, the position, you see it every day. Did you see 1800 yards or was it just an explosion? So,
absolutely. I mean, Amber's calling. I saw it. I mean, shoot, let's be real. We start out better, run the ball better the first two games. He has 2000 yards. So, from 2020 to 2021, I knew the jump would be big. Everybody saw it. First off, he's a running back. We like to run the ball. So, you know, the opportunities are coming, especially just going off of 2020 going to 2021. We already like, okay, this rookie's legit. Like, he's going to get some more carries this year. Then, you know, he starts rolling. You know, we're looking at it now. Like, we had 9-10 games in a row where he had like 130, 150, 200 yard games. And we all saw it. Great player. And Pittman, yeah, We saw it. Like with Pittman, obviously, as a receiver, you can see the ability early. You just have – as a receiver, it's a little bit different than running back because so many more route techniques, so much more out wide. You know, so many more routes and things that you have to come around to. Whereas running back, you have to figure out protection. And then once you figure out the run scheme, you get the ball and you do what you do, what you do, which JT's very good at. But Pittman, to see him step into the role he is now has been great, even his routes and just seeing how he's leading some of the other guys. Because this is second or third year. Wait, is it third year? It's third year.
It's going to be his third.
Third year, and he's out there acting like he's year five and six, helping out other guys who may be our age or older if he sees it. And that's where he's stepping into the number one and a leader position.
Now, speaking of veteran players, I'm curious about your new quarterback, Matt Ryan, and just what your interactions with him have been like. You know, we've seen a lot of comparisons to Peyton Manning, not as a player, but as the way they conduct themselves. What's it been like, you know, that you guys are starting to kind of get out on the field and work together, lots of meetings, et cetera? What are your first impressions?
It's been a pleasure to work with him so far. One thing that stands about him, he's deadly accurate. Like, you could probably be 30 yards away and be like, Matt, hit this sign. I think he'll hit it on the money. So he's very, very intense, and he's a great guy. But the coolest thing about him is just seeing him interact with everybody. Like, he'll go in there, and after the practice, he'll dap us up, and he sees a coaching point or something. He'll tell us there. If something comes to his mind, he'll tell us. And he's just on it. And we're on that field. He's a commander. He's telling us how we want things. And one thing that's cool about Matt is, like, even he talks about our routes, but he even talks about what he needs to do. He'll be like, yo, on this route, you got to do this. But then after that, I got to give you a good ball and put it on your front shoulder or whatever he has to do. And then he does it. So I think with him, it's obviously I didn't play with Peyton, but he gives me real, like, Philip Rivers vibes. It's you know, we play with a lot of quarterbacks. He's an old veteran guy coming in. He's hungry, very, very hungry. He has a lot of juice left in the tank. And I think he's going to lead us and be great to us.
He seems demanding, which in a good way.
It's demanding like how Philip was. I don't know how Peyton was, but I know when Philip came in here, Philip probably knew the offense a little bit better. But, like, he demands. And it's not a bad demand, but it's like, we got a curl route. We need to do this. And then the ball's coming, and we got to do them things. And he'll let you know what it is. And when we don't do it, he'll remind you and hold you accountable. And he's one of the quarterbacks. Look, if you got to stay out there and practice and do that 100 times, he'll do it until we get it right. And that's one thing. He has a great work ethic.
Awesome.
Naeem, I know you're we know you're a team guy, and your role has fluctuated the last couple of years, and you've been asked about this. And Frank and Ursay and Chris, they've all talked about getting you more action next year. We talked about this before. How do you balance the two sides of it between like you want to win, like you want to be a team guy, and you know that you have JT in front of you, and he's going to get a bulk of the carries. With also, like, the season didn't end well last year. You didn't get as many touches as you wanted, and the team is better when you're more involved. How do you balance those discussions and that sort of dilemma where it's like, hey, if you get me more involved, we're going to have more success? I think that's been proven over time.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the discussions, I think my agent just talks to him, and then we talk, and I try not to talk to Frank too much. Well, right now we have a good understanding of what we both want and both sides of the goals. And after that, we kind of just, I guess, I'm trying to think of the word, kind of like goal set. And then after that, we really don't have much to talk about because I'm not going to be in Frank's face while he has a whole game to call and off-season plan to do. And then after that, I just pray to the Lord. And one thing I do know is I pray to the Lord, and I go out there every day, and I'm going out there trying to kill everybody, because if there's any doubt and they don't want to call it, I'm going to go out there and try to give them a reason to call the play. That's how the NFL works. It doesn't matter. I mean, the roles and stuff fluctuate, but when you go out there and put stuff on tape every day, you just have to keep working until you don't have to introduce yourself no more. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. It doesn't matter kind of what my role is. I'm going to go out there and earn it every day and practice and make the defense pay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Do you enjoy the, or let me rephrase that. Does it appeal to you to play a little more of a standard receiver role? Not like full time, but I'm saying, but like if you, I don't know who your slot receiver is. Maybe it's you, for somewhat, right? I don't know. Like,
I have no problem. Does that appeal to you? Receiver. No. I don't even care if I move to receiver. I mean, I play running back. Right. I'm not the biggest guy. Who knows? If I play 10 years, I might have to. And for me, I think with me, options are always open. One thing I want to do is make this team better. If I have to move to receiver to do that, if that's what I have to do for me to be on the field with JT more, that's what I got to do. I mean, I've always been one of those players that obviously – I'm not a starter, and even in college, my role is different. So I've always been one of those guys that got to just do what they got to do. So I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure I'm out on that field and get the ball.
Cool. What is one thing we don't know or the fans don't know about Jonathan Taylor or T.Y. Hilton or Quentin Nelson?
T.Y.'s name is Eugene. His birthday, we're both Scorpios. His birthday is November 14th. His birthday's 2 days after mine.
Wait, are you November 12th?
Uh-huh.
You're in good company. This guy. There you go.
My guy. I like you guys. Y'all been some of my favorite guys over the years. I've always liked y'all.
You were meant Quentin to be on Nelson. This podcast. See?
Let's see. Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson likes red wine. He's a red wine guy.
I would have suggested Bud Light.
Okay, I didn't know that.
He does like his Bud Lights, but like
okay, just making sure the world is still red. Okay.
No.
Just making sure all is good.
Yeah, but no, he likes some red wine.
All right.
What was the last person?
JT. Is JT as nice as he seems? Because he seems like he's like the nicest guy ever.
JT's nice. No, JT's a great guy. He's probably nicer than me.
Like, I want to just hear, like, a story about...
I talk more junk than JT.
I want somebody to, like, give me a story about Jonathan Taylor being an asshole, like, once in his life, okay? Like,
okay, so it's not him being an asshole, but I'll give you something that's probably some good content. I can't remember what game it was. It was probably, like, week 8 or week... I don't know. There was one... Oh, it was Houston. We played Houston at home. JT was obviously having a good year, and I think it's when... Isn't Houston, like, when JT really first started kind of going off? Like the Houston one. I remember
this year it was last year.
Last 2021.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like
okay.
He might have had a good game before them, but Houston was like really the first game where he started going off, right? Yeah. Okay. So this
it was definitely at the front end of that stretch. Yeah.
That was the front end. Yeah. So okay, this is a good story. So JT was going off that game. And then I think in the third or fourth quarter, he has a touchdown. He scores a touchdown and a guy hits him, like tries to, you know, he misses DB, hits him, like DB hits him. And JT kind of like, he doesn't look at him, but you know how the NFL is. He kind of went like that and flexed. And I was like, dang, like, this is the first time I've seen JT kind of do anything like that. Like, he must think he's back at Wisconsin. And I only told him that. I was like, dang, okay, so I see you're flexing now. Like, you think you're back at Wisconsin. He kind of smiled at me and then, you know, proceeded to the proceeded to go crazy the rest of the year. And I think that was kind of the coolest thing. He was like, I got a good week this week, Heem. Like, he always calls me Heem. He's like, Heem, I think I might go 450 this week. I'm like, I think
you. So he does. He does know how good he is. Okay.
No, it's not that. He says it's a good opportunity. I might have said 150, but he's like, Heem, I think it's a good week. He always says, he never says the yards. Right. He'll be like, Heem, I think I'm going to break one this week.
So he's feeling it when he's feeling
it. He'll feel it. Like, you know how running backs, like, even the Panthers did. Like, I had a feeling like a good day. Sometimes you know. Yeah. Like, so some days, like the Houston day, he was like, Heem, like, I'm going to break one today. Then he flexed. I was like, okay, he's back in Wisconsin. And then he kind of joked, and then he proceeded to, you know, have the 1,800 or 2,000 all-purpose or scrimmage yards. And, wow.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a guy who touches the ball, and you know this, right? You have days, you have moments when you feel it, right? I mean, it's like it's a basketball thing, right? And I guess like when you're hot,
like
right?
Some days even football, I wake up and I just know I'm gonna have a good day. Like Tennessee on my birthday, like I woke up that day and I was like, oh, there are a couple of games this year, like the Tennessee and the Panthers game for sure. Like as soon as I just touched the field, it just felt right.
Gotcha.
So yeah. I'm sure JT has. Well, I mean, every week was like that for JT, but I'm sure JT has days like that as well.
So this is a very random question, but I know this happens. How often do people either on social media or in person bug you about fantasy football?
Oh, I hate fantasy football because of social media.
Figured.
Yeah.
So all the time.
You can look at my Instagram comments right now and somebody's talking about it. Like I remember Houston, we won the Houston game in the playoffs in the wild card game. I remember I posted a picture and somebody was like, 0 yards rushing, like zero carries. Like, are you at least going to try to have impact on the game? Dude, I can't control if I get the ball or not. And like, I get stuff like that all the time. And actually the coolest thing about fantasy football is now apparently the Panthers game I had won a lot of fantasy football championships. So I've raised some money for MDA and donated some money, but more times than not, I hate it because, you know, people are talking about all the stuff I didn't do. You know, I'm not a starter. So like, you know, some of my production is based on just how crazy JT goes. So days JT goes crazy. I mean, I guess me touches, but you know, on fantasy football, I got to hear about it.
But then there are other games where you might score 3 touchdowns, right? And like you're a fantasy hero. So,
I'm sure people hate me because I don't know what I'm going to do that day and they don't either. So I'm sure like I'm a wild card. I'm sure people probably hate playing me.
What is one thing that like the general public doesn't know about what it's like to be an NFL player during the season? Because they just see you on Sundays and they just expect you to be out there.
Oh, okay. This is one thing people don't know. Yeah, it's an everyday job. Like I'm here from 8 to 6 every day. People think we just wake up and go to football. Like we wake up, we have meetings to get ready for practice. So we meet about practice, we walk through the practice, and then have film to go over the stuff they win in practice. And that takes like 8:45 to like 6. You do that Wednesday and Thursday, Friday you have another day. I think that's what people don't realize. Like you work 40 hours. I'm like in the building 40 hours a week, probably just like the regular American. And people just think like, we just play football for fun. It's an actual job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it too, even though I love it, it feels like a job.
Right. I mean, you got to be on time. You got places.
And they find us if we're late, like your phone call off the meetings, that's a fine. Like, and it's not like $500. It's probably like, if you're late, it's like $2,000. Like you missed a plane or you're late for the plane. It's like 20. I don't know how much it is because nobody's got it, but I know it's like $2,000 or $3,000.
who's notoriously late? I don't know, man. Do we want to say this on the podcast? Screw it.
I'll say I'm not notoriously late, but I'm one of the last guys always out there, but I'm never late.
Okay. That's what matters.
I wouldn't
football,
be for three
in football,
grand.
Everybody's like 5 or 10 minutes early. So y'all know how practice is. If we have practice at 1:30. Everybody's out there at 1:20. Unfortunately, I'm that guy that's probably going to run out at like 1:27. 1:28.
But you're not giving out any money. So that's the important.
Oh, no, I'm not late. I'm consistent. Like I've been doing that for 5 years now. I've been consistent with being like 3 minutes early.
favorite part of the season and least favorite part of the season.
Least favorite part. Oh, training camp.
Yeah.
Training camp, you know, like
just hot every year. Pads.
Like, look, I already know, like, hopefully I play a long time, but I already know when I'm going to retire. I'm going to retire when I just don't want to do the training camp anymore. Training camp's hard and training camp sets the tone, but you know, you've been working out and you got to go out there. You have a 3-hour practice or 2-hour practice. Then you're there. What are we there? Like 8 to 8 or 8 to 9, like 12-hour day. That's the hardest part. My favorite part of the season?
Kickoff?
Probably the first game of the year, but honestly, it'd probably just be bye week. Honestly, it's not even the fact that I don't love football. It's the fact that like you have training camp, which is 4 weeks. Then you got a 17-week season. That's 20-something weeks from July to January. We play football.
Yeah.
So it's just great to have that one weekend where, you know, you get to go see your family, decompress. Because once you get in the season mode, you almost feel like a robot. Like, I wake up every Monday, do the same thing, every Tuesday, Wednesday. And bye weeks, that one time where you get to break that and feel like, not human, but you just get to do your own thing and just relax.
We'll wind this down, but I'm curious about this, like a lot of random things. Did you have a favorite player growing up? And if so, why? Who was it?
I had a couple of favorite players. Steve Smith was one of my favorite players growing up. Just Steve Smith and Warwick Dunn were probably the first guys I watched that were my size. And like looking at my dad and my mom, they're both the same height. I kind of always knew I was going to be the size and height I was. I didn't know how fast I was going to be. So I think Warwick Dunn was probably my favorite player, like as a younger kid, especially watching him play with Algie Crumpler and Mike Vick. And Steve Smith and Warwick Dunn were probably the first two guys that I really was like, oh, this short guys I can play that I saw. And then even now, I mean, I got a lot of guys, but I like Tyreek Hill is probably my favorite player.
Like, I was going to ask you who you like watching. Like, yeah,
I love watching Tyreek Hill. Hopefully I'll get some of those looks, but I'm not going to lie. I don't watch football all the time, but every time the Chiefs play, I've always watched him and Kelce. And I like all the speeches. Like, I like Jalen, but Tyreek Hill is definitely been probably my favorite guy to watch on film. And Debo, because obviously Debo does a lot of things that I would like to do. Right. So it's pretty cool watching them suit those two guys.
It seems like you never worried about your size, like holding you back. It seems like even from an early age, you were just like I can.
Yeah,
do
because
it.
Like, yeah, because everybody talks about it. My size. Yeah, because everybody who talks about my size has obviously never been as fast as I've been. So it sounds good, but like you have to like, that's why I say I don't really care about the size and stuff, because even if you do catch me, if we're 1-on-1, you still have a hard time tackling me. Just like JT, you're scared of JT running you over. I'm not the hardest person. I'm not the easiest person to tackle. Even if you get your arms on me, I run hard. So that's probably why I've never really been worried about it, because my whole life I've always been fast and my size has actually never hindered me my whole life. It's just been words that have hindered me about my size, but it's actually never affected my play or stopped me from anything I want to do in my life. That's why I'm in the NFL. So that's how I just kind of feel about it. And at this point, if I had a dollar for every time somebody talked about my joke, I'd have trillions of dollars. Or call my arm shorter, just said something like that. So it's cool.
Right. That's cool. So this, I know we've referenced this a few times, but like, you know, whenever you do get tired of going to training camp and you decide you're going to do something else, what have you continued giving thought to, like what the future holds for you? Cause I know you've thought about this a lot. What are your thoughts these days on that?
Yeah, I still do want to own a Bojangles, if that's what everybody's wondering.
Hey, as long as you give us a discount, man.
Hey, I will be there.
Look, actually, I was driving to Nashville and I stopped at the closest one in Louisville. So I was just thinking about it like, dang, we need one 2 hours closer. But I think that's still in play. I think that's probably like after my career. Everybody's been asking me for 4 years, do I own one? Or there's a lot of misconception. That's something I probably will have to do after my NFL career, just to settle down and focus and figure that out. And honestly, working-wise, once my career's over, I like to be an analyst. So I like to go on ESPN, talk Monday Night Football, and maybe be on a podcast. I'm not sure if I'm good like you guys, but I think I just want to look at the film and do breakdowns and play-by-play.
Well, look, there's a reason we requested you, man. So
you'd be great at it. You'd be great at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my practice in now. So actually, the spring game this year, I did a drive or two. So started trying to get my foot in the door and work my way up and figure out things. I'll probably be calling you guys soon for some pointers.
The shoe will be on the other foot. I like it. So this is great, man. So just last thing, I guess, would just be, do you ever get a feel for a team like this time of year? I know we're so far away from opening day, right? But like, all we can do is look at a team on paper. Do you have a feeling about this team? Does it feel like you guys have something? Can you tell?
I don't say I have a feel for a team, but I like to think, I don't know. I'll go back to the quarterback. I mean, I got a good feeling about the quarterback. I'm not saying I'm not jinxing him or anything, but I've been around a lot of quarterbacks, and I think this is a good guy. Even throughout the year, you never know how good the team will be because, you know, injuries and all that thing, but all those things. But playing with a lot of quarterbacks, you can tell when you got an elite guy who's special and who can take you places. And that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not sure how good the team is, will be, but I know that the guy in the center will be very, very good to us, get us in the right plays and help us win some games.
That's awesome.
It's crazy how that all worked out. That's crazy. Like for those 10 days, like who's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be Matt Ryan. Like, wow. Like, they kind of got lucky. Like, I didn't think that
was going to
happen.
I'm so happy I didn't even pay attention to it. People were calling me about it. I promise you, after Jacksonville, I didn't even think about football for like a good month or two. I just went off and didn't even look at football.
Probably just had to get away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, after Jacksonville was tough. So, yeah, it was really, really tough.
Yeah, thank you, man.
We get it. We were there.
Yeah. We didn't get to check out either. That's the thing. Yeah.
Y'all had to come here and do it all week. I left on Wednesday. So
I get it.
So we won't have that again. We need to change that luck too. I think that's one of the things that I don't know about us, but that's one thing I would love to do is change that history, because I'm owing, like, at least all the guys that we're owing for there. We've played every Rawls and won. So that's one thing I'm definitely excited for, is to go down there, and obviously they've had our number, so
mm-hmm.
They got some momentum. And they have a great team coming in too. On paper, they look like a really, really good team, and they will be a good team. They're a tough team. They're a physical team. So definitely gonna look.
There's no way. There's no way you guys overestimate that going into this year. I don't care what the record is. Like, there's no way. First of
all, I'm not gonna lie to you. There's a misconception here. We've never underestimated there, because we've never won there. Like, ever since we had Andrew Luck and went down there and lost 6-0, I have yet to underestimate the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's a crazy game. That was crazy. Yeah,
only I think fans think we do, but I promise you, we don't take any opponent lightly. They, especially them. It's right. Just we don't play well there for whatever reason, and we're going to change that.
All right. I'll hold you to it. Yes, all right, sir. Man. We so thank appreciate this, Naheem. This is great. Hope the listeners enjoyed it. So, hey, he won't be our only prominent guests here in the next couple weeks either, so we won't spoil the surprise, but we got somebody else lined up for you guys. So hey, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Stephen Holder with Zach Kiefer with Naheem Hines, Colts running back, damn it, okay. Don't forget it. And we appreciate you joining us, Naheem. Thank you guys for listening, and this is 1% Better.